Well, here we are. Summer is over. Such a sad face. All the free time is gone. We're back in school, back to the usual schedule at work, and even here at church, everything goes back to the way it was. Vestry meetings, committee meetings, other meetings, 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 meetings. And I can assure you there is a lot of talking at those meetings. And sometimes we actually do something. But we come here today because we are here to do something. We are here to gather ourselves together from all over the place, from beaches and mountaintops, from far away and maybe just staycations. We're all finally back into our place. Even moved from the auditorium back into the nave of the church. Some people are saying, I liked it better up there. And other people are saying, oh, it's about time we're back. And so it was, and ever shall be, forever and ever. Amen. And today is traditionally, as we come back together, a day when we do this as a parish family, all together at one service. And where after that service, we leave our place of worship and we go to another place to have even more worship, in a sense, because it is there that the fellowship that begins in this place continues and deepens as we share bread with one another and share stories about the summer and share some of the insights that we may have gotten along the way. We greet old friends and hopefully a few new ones here. And we invite everyone to come. Now, that's the real key, to be a people of invitation, constantly going out from this place and constantly asking people to share with us an experience. And that experience is an experience of what God's grace can do for us. And what better set of lessons for us to have than the ones appointed for this day? Particularly this gospel lesson. Actually, in Luke's gospel, this is a set piece, as you would. There are actually three stories about something being lost and then something being found and then great rejoicing after. The third story is rather lengthy, and we read it at another time of year. And so we skip over it today, but I will just call to mind to you to place everything in its proper context. Because what follows immediately after this gospel lesson is the parable of the prodigal son. Each one of these follows a similar pattern. Each one of these begins a process of telling a story that culminates in that magnificent story. And each one of them could stand alone. And it is only perhaps when we read more than one at a time, particularly most dramatically, if we read all three of them together today, we would start to get the message that Jesus intends to give us. And that is that nothing and no person is beyond the love of God. No one and nothing is beyond the grace of God. No one and nothing is beyond God's willingness to move out from God's high heaven into our physical earth to invite us to share that life, which is the life of the Spirit, a life that leads our physical existence into an existence of everlasting peace. Each one of these stories follows that pattern. First of all, something gets lost. A sheep, a coin, a son. And then whoever the protagonist is in the story, that's a fancy word for main character, that person goes out and diligently searches. The shepherd for the sheep, the woman for the coin. And while the father never leaves his home, the story that Jesus tells us there says he looked out constantly as if he was just sitting around on the front porch constantly waiting for his son to come home. He didn't know where to go to look for him. Each one of them follows that pattern. And the thing we forget the most about these three stories is the very end part of that pattern, and that is the great rejoicing and celebration that what was lost was found. Think about it. Actually, if you talk to a shepherd, very few of them would leave 99 sheep behind and go look for this stray one. Very few, because after all, if one ran away when they were all being guarded, imagine what the 99 would do. Those of you who are teachers on elementary level, you know what I'm talking about. Leave the classroom and, well, this is what happens. And the coin. Coin, this is a, you know, in another part where this story is told, there are 10 coins and she loses one. So she lost 10% of her savings. Now, that's a significant decrease. Most of us, when our portfolios decrease by 10%, we get all very nervous and our stomachs get a little agita and we're like ready and, you know, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? So this woman diligently searches for her coin. It might have fallen between the cracks in the sort of rough lumber plank floor that she might have had, or it might have fallen into a little niche someplace, or it might have, who knows where it went, but she swept the house from top to bottom, looked in every corner, every little niche, to see if the coin was there. When she finds it after all that work, oh, she's so, so happy. So she invites her neighbors and friends in and throws a party. She probably spent the 9 she had had on the party just because she found the one. But that is the story. That's the important piece for us to realize, that God's rejoicing, heaven's rejoicing in finding yet even but one is so complete that it far overtakes and overwhelms anything that could have happened because that one was lost. We see that especially in the story of the prodigal son. You know the story so well, where, you know, the son is coming home and he's rehearsed his little apology and his dad runs out to meet him and he puts the best robe on him and a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet and kills the fatted calf and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's all of this rejoicing. And then, of course, other brother gets really kind of ticked off because he said, I've been here all the time and what do I get? Nothing. Isn't that the rub? Maybe that's what Jesus is trying to tell those scribes and those Pharisees in today's gospel lesson. You know, you guys are so busy about keeping everything just right. You guys are so busy about being righteous. You guys are so busy about keeping God's law and doing all the right things that you forget the very purpose of what they're all about. But all of these things are about going out, finding and inviting back in, inviting back in. And when those people come back in or in for the first time, we must rejoice. And we must rejoice in a way far beyond our imagining, not just a little tea and cookie, but a big party because we found one. That's what Jesus is telling us, because that's supposed to be the pattern of our lives. If we find that our lives are a little sad, we find that our lives, you know, we're constantly sort of mucking and moaning about, oh, you know, I got it so hard, so whoa, poor me, all that sort of thing. You're not lost. Just learn to rejoice when something is found. Learn to make that joy a pattern of life. day in and day out. And when we do, just about nothing can take that joy away from us, because it is a joy not in a thing, but in the heart. And that's really, too, what these stories are about. They are about the fact that this joy comes from the process of finding, not from the thing itself. That recalcitrant sheep probably would go off again. You know, there's always the problem one. Probably drop another coin here or there. I love picking up pennies in parking lots. And I'm reminded of Benjamin Franklin's advice: find a penny, pick it up, and all the day you'll have good luck. Maybe that is rooted in this kind of story, that in finding something so simple and so small as a penny, not like I found $1 million, I found a penny. What can you buy for a penny anymore? Not even a piece of candy. Yes, I'm that old, I remember when a piece of candy cost a penny. But finding is where the joy comes. If we remember that, then we're not so concerned, like those scribes and Pharisees, of keeping our religious club to ourselves. We're not so concerned about trying to make everything just right because, you know, we're trying to please God. So we're not going to worry about all of those things, but rather we come together to rejoice because we know that we ourselves were first found. And now all God asks of us is to go out and look for the others. That's what this day is all about. It's about the doing of looking and inviting, but it is more importantly about the recognition of the immense joy that comes in finding. And making that joy the pattern of our life. And it isn't just being happy. It's an extravagant joy. That's one thing about God's grace and one thing about God's life. It's never stingy. It's always extravagant. Whenever you hear God doing something, it's always to the nth degree. And we say, of course he does it that way. He's God. Or she's God. The reality is that that's the way of God's life. And if indeed we share in Christ Jesus our lives together in God, in the Spirit, then that extravagance, that is part and parcel of who we are. That is why we worship in a magnificent building. That's why we wear beautiful vestments. That's why we have such gorgeous music when we worship. Because it is a holy extravagance. It is why when we gather together, we should make our best recipes and share them out with one another, not secretly guarding them and keeping that secret ingredient to ourselves so that everybody comes back to us to get that special thing, but rather that everybody can share in the joy. God is exceedingly extravagant, interestingly, with sinners. You notice something? I'd ask you to find me any place in the Gospels where Jesus encounters a sinner and scolds them or tells them to get right. No, he doesn't do that. Not one place in the Gospels. Instead, what he does is invite them in and sits down and eats with them. If we find ourselves trying to scold everybody else, not for doing good things and for doing bad things, maybe we're more like the scribes and the Pharisees than we want to admit. For we are called not to be them, but to be Jesus, to be Christ for the world, to exercise that extravagance that God has already shed in deep measure upon us and share that out with everybody we encounter and everybody we meet. This is our life's work. This is why we are the church. This is why we begin our program year with this Sunday. to show ourselves again the extravagant grace of God. And how it is when we come together and we put down the barriers that can divide us and recognize that each and every one of us is yet a sinner, and that God's grace and love comes to us nonetheless. And that joy of being found and finding, then it is ours. And so, my brothers and sisters, as we gather together today, yeah, we're starting the meetings and the talking and the doing, but more importantly, we are recommissioning ourselves to doing the finding, to going out into the world, in our schools, our workplaces, our neighborhoods, and inviting others in, not scolding them, oh, you're a sinner, you don't go to church, you know, not that, no. Just saying, come, eat with me. Sit down with me and find the extravagant love of our God.